01419511025.
What a day it was in the Scottish Premiership. Loads to get through between now and 6 o'clock, so whatever is on your mind, 01419511025 on the phones. We will try and get through as many calls as we possibly can between now and 6 o'clock, because I know you will have a lot on your minds. Hugh, what stood out to you from the action today?
Sounds as if perhaps rode their luck a little at Tynecastle against Motherwell, and Motherwell have had a wasteful day in front of goal. With Celtic, the old reservation remains in place. They do not have a reliable goal scorer. The effect that will have on them in five matches after the split, I think, is there to be seen. It's all very well playing at home, but you need a goal scorer, and they are desperately lacking in that department, and that, I think, could be their undoing. So, only once this season have Hearts, Rangers and Celtic won on the same weekend. Celtic got there in the end. Hearts got there in the end. Does that mean that Rangers slip up tomorrow? I personally doubt it, but that, statistically speaking, would appear to be what normally happens.
01419511025 on the phones. We are on the live stream as well, if you want to have a look at these three on Envision for whatever reason. Charles was about to speak to us on the line, but he's just dropped out there, so we will try and reconnect him back in. Elsewhere, apart from the top of the table, there was a good win for Aberdeen, there was a good win for Dundee United. And what about that late drama between Kilmarnock and Dundee?
Very late drama indeed, 7 minutes. But I think that after seeing that, Neil McCann would be quite happy to take the point, because it could have easily slipped away if Dundee had scored the penalty. Four goals down there, absolutely brilliant game. St Mirren once again got to Celtic Park. 1-0, not the biggest disgrace in the world, but big 3 points for Aberdeen. Helped, you've got to say, and I'm not taking anything away, the fact that Hibs penalty kick 10 men gives you a little bit of confidence, especially at home. So that's massive. And that's going to be like the top of the league. It's going to go all the way at the end of the season for me. A lot of twists and turns, a lot of good games, and a lot of excitement ahead.
Yeah, a lot of people maybe had Aberdeen doomed last week and were saying that they were the team that were trending in the wrong direction when it comes to 11th place, but stuff just changes so quickly.
I know. It's the break, isn't it? It's not only the penalty, it's Grant Hanley being sent off. We talked about Gamalfi, the Aberdeen wing-back as well. I think he was fortunate not to get a red card. So these are the breaks that can help you at the bottom of the table. And I was there last week, said earlier on the show, and Aberdeen were so poor, you did worry about them. They're still in it. I mean, they're now 5 points off the 11th place rather than three before today. But there's some big games coming up after the split. We're focusing, of course, at times on Rangers and Hearts and Celtic and when they play each other. But when Kilmarnock play against St Mirren and Aberdeen and Dundee, who are back in it as well, it's going to be a huge, huge few weeks at the bottom of the table.
01419511025 on the phones. There is another big game to come in the Premiership tomorrow. Rangers away at Falkirk. We all know what happened last time Rangers went there. Russell Martin was in charge. It was his final game in charge. How tough a test and how much extra pressure is it now on Rangers that Hearts and Celtic both won today?
Better both. Considering that I think Rangers fans leaving Ibrox last week after the Dundee United game, going back to the top of the table since a long, long time, and then find themselves in third place. It just shows you the twists and turns that we keep talking about. Falkirk ain't no easy place to go. Let me be quite clear in that. I think it'll need a big performance to Rangers tomorrow. I do fancy them, I've got to say. Falkirk have had a terrific season, top six, semi-final next week against Neil Lennon's Dunfermline, with a chance to get to Scottish Cup final as well. They'll get into that, favourites. They've got a guy banging for them that's scoring goals for fun. Be interesting to see the Rangers team tomorrow. Will they look at the two? I know Nadiri's out, but would they look at Chermiti and Majoski up top, or will they stick to the three with just one striker through the middle? A lot of questions to be asked tomorrow, but the pressure is on Rangers because they've got to go and win the game.
01419511025 on the phones. Laurie is a Celtic fan up first. Laurie, what did you make of that performance today?
Firstly, I would like to tell Hugh and Gordon, my good lady managed to get me a ticket for the Pavilion show on the 3rd of June, one of the few, the remaining ones. So I'm looking forward to to seeing the guys.
Nice.
Anyway, regarding the game today, in truth, I thought it was quite a laboured performance. I think Celtic at times were far too passive. They allowed St Mirren plenty of time on the ball. That only changed when Arne Engels came on in the second half. I was so delighted to see him back. He gives us a presence there, a kind of a solidity, if you like, that had been lacking. The other thing I would like to say is, I'm so delighted to see the Green Brigade. I know they're much maligned in some quarters, but when they haven't been in attendance, the atmosphere at Celtic Park has been funereal. They come back today and they lit the place up with their presence, and it never escaped my notice, of course, that the players went over and greeted them at the end of the game. So it's a welcome return for them. Absolutely delighted that they're back. The place was rocking in terms of atmosphere, and that augurs well for the remaining five games in the league.
But for all it was rocking, Laurie, one goal.
I agree with that, Hugh.
Scraping by.
Yeah, they did. But I suppose at this time of the season, Hugh, what matters, of course, and I know it's very cliched, is the result, perhaps better more than a performance. Personally, I would prefer to see Kelechi Iheanacho playing up front as opposed to Shavin Chara. I don't think the big guy offers a great deal, if truth be told. But yes, we do need to start scoring more frequently. And they're running and now they were entering the home stretch, to use a baseball euphemism.
And the problem is, there's no one to do it for you, Laurie.
Well, Kelechi Iheanacho has just recently come back. He's had serious injury problems. But he made himself available a couple of times today, and he was unlucky on one or two occasions. But yeah, take your point. We'll have to score more goals to remain in contention, Jude. I'd be daft to say otherwise.
Laurie, some people will look at Celtic's recent wins, and because there were narrow victories, people can spin it either way. People can say, you know, it's maybe concerning that the results might not continue to keep going in that way. Other people will say it's the sign of champions. What way do you fall?
Well, you know what? Since Martin O'Neill has come back, and he's the only reason we're still in contention. There was a guy, Robbie, came on a few days ago, and he was critical of Martin O'Neill, which I found astonishing. We're still in the title race because of Martin O'Neill, not despite him. We've got a will and a determination to keep going for 90 minutes. And that'll bode well over the next five matches. I'm still confident, quietly confident, we will win the league. And if we do, it'll be despite the board and not because of them.
Well, thank you to Laurie. What about Josh, who's another Celtic fan? Josh, what did you make of the way that today unfolded?
Much the same vein as the majority of the Celtic wins have been going lately. The ground was all out, despite not particularly playing well. It's a hallmark of a decent side. Like I was watching Arsenal this afternoon. They did the exact opposite of what Celtic have done. They started off with that commanding lead, and it's been kind of chipped away at. Hearts bounced back from that deficit, though. So Hearts are top with five games to go. And I think if you would have offered any Hearts fan that, they'd have kind of bit your hand off for it. But they showed a different hallmark today. Hearts was kind of following both games, and they fed off the atmosphere at Tynecastle. The crowd stayed with them, and it's been the same at the Celtic games as well. We're trying to rebuild that disconnect between the ownership and the fan base and what's happening on the pitch, and I think Martin's the perfect bridge, isn't he? It might not always be perfect. You might have little setbacks on the way, but they've put themselves in a good position here to compete for the title. 3 points behind, five games to go, and you've got to play Hearts as well. I'd have bit your hand off for that about 5 or 6 weeks ago as a Celtic man. So, yeah, Hearts deserve all the credit, though. And I think Lawrence Shanklin, for me, is definitely the player of the season, despite missing a few games through injury. His Hearts is talisman, isn't he, boys? So that's kind of how I'm looking at it from the overall point of view.
The way that Hearts battled to a win against a Motherwell side who had, you know, a load of chances today, does that worry you at all, Josh, that they were able to grind out that win against a very good side?
Yeah, well, I came on the show last week and said people have been jumping on the bandwagon with Hearts, saying that they're going to bottle it and this and that. They didn't get the result last week, but for me it was a decent away performance from them and a decent enough point, given the whole complexion of the season. They built on that today and, like I said, fed off the home crowd a little bit, responded to the setback, which is always a good hallmark of a title-chasing team. I've kind of been one of these people that knew Hearts were going to stay in the race because of the way that they were playing. you know, throughout the season. Like whenever they've had little setbacks, they've bounced back the next week. And I think Lawrence has been pivotal to that. Lawrence Shankland, he has the experience. Knows where the goal is. He had the bottle to step up and take that penalty under the immense pressure as well and execute it. So with five games to go, we've got three teams in a title race, which is just kind of monumentally fantastic for the Scottish game as a whole. I'm actually enjoying watching the Scottish League more than the Premier League, the English Premier League, and I think that's testament to how brilliant this title race is.
You're right. Many people say they prefer watching our Premiership to the Premier League in England, but we'd be kidding ourselves on and have no perspective if we didn't say it's really exciting, but it's not high in quality, but it's very, very exciting. And to go back to Celtic, you know, that when they go away to Hibs, for example, you're definitely going to need a goal, and they are sadly lacking in that department. And when they play Motherwell, they'll definitely need a goal. When Rangers and Hearts go to Celtic Park, you know, whether it's Chermiti, Braga, Shankland, Miovsky, whoever, you have the feeling the opposition will definitely score, but will Celtic?
You know, Hugh's saying maybe a lack of quality, and people will maybe say that about Celtic's performance today. People will maybe say it about Hearts' performance today as well. But as the games tick down, they've only got five games to go each. All they can really do is win at the moment, and it's another 3 points on the board, another, you know, 3 points closer to where they want to be.
Yeah, and people are going to focus on Celtic scoring the early goal, and in years gone by, you say, oh, here we go, St Mirren could be in the receiving end of a bit of a hiding, and it's 1-0, and it's grinding out results, and it's criticism. But Hearts, although they won 3-1, and as I said earlier, that's what you'll see in the history books. It sounds from Roger Hanna's reports and from what we're hearing, that Motherwell were really unlucky. So Hearts ground out a result as well. And I don't think the supporters of the Old Firm go at the moment thinking they're going to be entertained with rousing football and blowing teams away. I think there's a realism around that this is a title race like no other. And though Celtic have won 13 out of 14 titles, it'd been nothing like this. You know, when Rangers won the title, they'd ran away with it during the COVID times. So it's new ground for Celtic and Rangers as well. There's so many new players. And I think fans just understand this season has just been so different from all others. Both teams are changing their manager. Celtic changed the manager twice. It's just about getting results and getting to the end of the season. And I disagree slightly with Hugh and with Gordon about tomorrow. I've got a feeling Falkirk might get something tomorrow, and then all of a sudden Hearts going into the last five games are 3 points ahead. I think it could be a draw tomorrow.
See, picking up on the point there Hugh's making about where does Celtic get the goal? They've got the second top goal scorer in the league by 19. I know that you look at, for instance, oh, he's a midfield player and you want your strikers to score. I get that. Rangers strikers aren't hitting the heights scoring goals. I think where Hearts have got a slight advantage, a big advantage, is they two up top, you keep them fit to the end of the season. They'll bag you goals. But if you look at the overall goals, I think Rangers are top with about 60. Celtic are on about 59. So I know what you're saying about, because I've said that centre forwards win you games. You would love your centre forward, if you're Celtic, to start banging in goals. But you still got a guy that has got you 19 goals.
But it's strange though, Daz, that the expectation here, we're talking about Iheanacho being the number one choice, and I think he's a good player, but he's been injured for so long, yeah. And we're now talking about wrapping him in cotton wool for the last five games. There's a guy who's had injury problems, muscle problems, which can come back at any time, and that's who people are going to hang their hat on for Celtic to go and win the league. So it's different times, and 80 points might win you the league, whereas you'd have to have at least 90 in previous years. So it's just a strange time, but it's exciting.
Thank you to Josh, 01419511025. More of your calls to come. And on top of that, we will hear from some of the managers involved in today's games as well.
The games are over. The talking begins. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Lots to get through in the Scottish Premiership today from what happened around the ground. Celtic and Hearts getting the wins at the top of the table. Hearts 3-1 over Motherwell. It was a 1-0 win for Celtic at home to St Mirren. Wins for Aberdeen and Dundee United. A draw between Kilmarnock and Dundee. Let's go back to the phones. 0141 951 1025 if you want to get involved. Hugh is a Motherwell fan in Lanark. Hugh, what's on your mind this evening?
Good afternoon, gents. How are we?
Good, thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, I was wanting to go on last week just about VAR refereeing decisions, and I see that Mullow again today has been done with another VAR decision against us. Last week against Falkirk, the most blatantest penalty you've ever seen in your life, not checked by VAR. And there was another incident in the game when Sparrow got brought down the edge of the box and he got a yellow card for it. He's through in goal, he's a one-on-one with the keeper. There's another incident that should have been another red card. And today, where Welsh gets a penalty awarded against them, is baffling. I've had a Hearts supporter phone me to say that was the worst decision he's seen in his life. A Hearts supporter. Now, is this payback for what Slattery done? This is what you've got to question now, because 2 weeks after Slattery's incident gets his ban, we then find ourselves getting decisions going against us like this, with VAR not even intervening. The carry-on with Kilmarnock today, what was the carry-on with their decision? Was it 8 minutes for a VAR decision? I mean, what is happening with VAR? It's an absolute joke now. It's laughing stock.
I think you have to park the idea of an agenda against Motherwell. What Callum Slattery did and what he was punished for doing, neither here nor there, so far as the award of a penalty against Motherwell today. I do agree that the length of time it took with regard to the Dundee penalty award, for me, if you take 7 or 8 minutes to arrive at a decision, then you're just looking for something that probably isn't there. So for me, there has to be a time limit. 7 or 8 minutes is ludicrous. VAR is despised in Scotland. It's despised in England. It's despised the world over, I suspect. But it's here to stay.
I don't think there's a conspiracy. I'm not with you in that. But where I will agree with him 100%, last week against Falkirk was one of the worst decisions I've ever seen.
What about this week? What about the penalty that Hearts were awarded?
I've only quickly seen it, and I'm with you. I don't think that's a penalty kick.
No. I also said no.
Just to paint the picture for people that haven't seen it, Pierre Landry Kibori is lying on the ground at the time, and he gets his head to the ball, I think, but is then kicked in the head while he's on the ground. How do you see it, Fraser?
For me, I thought it was a penalty.
Dangerous play?
Yeah, I mean, if you put your head down, you're obviously going to get a foul against you for dangerous play. But I don't know what Kibori can do when he's lying on the ground, having gone for the ball, he's fallen over, and the ball comes towards him. He's going to just flick it on, which he did. He didn't dip his head down, which would be different. And I thought that, I don't know if it's Stephen Welsh, but one of the defenders. But it was a bit difficult to see because we've only seen a very, very brief clip. But I think it does highlight the issues around VAR. And to be fair to the VAR and the referees and Willie Collum, who I speak to regularly, they've not got the tools. We've not got enough cameras. I've never been a fan of VAR from before it came in. I've been quite consistent. I just think that it slows the game down. Has it made the game better? Has it made the game more enjoyable? And this kind of drive we have in football to have every single decision correct, it's just wrong for me. But it's here to stay, and we're going to get corners looked at in the World Cup. Maybe in Scotland next year they've got a choice. We're going to have second yellow cards looked at. We'll still be playing at this time. We're nearly half past five.
Fraser, I back your argument up. We've not got enough cameras. We'll probably get a cheap version of it, right? But I don't back up the situation that
clear decisions.
Everybody. I can't understand it even to this day why that was not a red card and a penalty kick last week against Falkirk.
I've said to you earlier on today, Andrew, that the Aberdeen player who, for me, strikes a Hibs player on the back of the head, the referee went to the screen and came away thinking that's not an ordering off. It baffles me. However, it's the same for all clubs, to address Hugh's point that he thinks that there's some sort of agenda here because of Callum Slattery. It's bad for all clubs. It was sold to the country as maximum efficiency, minimum interference. That is not the case.
I was just wondering, Hugh, the caller, did I read somewhere that Motherwell supporters were polled about whether they would keep VAR or not? And the poll was quite comprehensive against it.
Clubber then got pulled. It was like a supporter put it on X, and that's how it's came out.
Yeah.
But again, I don't mean there was a conspiracy against Muller. I'm not getting that. But you just think, wait a minute, 2 weeks, two decisions that are totally wrong in my opinion, and the first one was so blatant, it's unbelievable, especially with VAR not making an intervention. Now, for me, VAR is there to assist referees, not to re-ref the game. And I think that's the problem we're getting now. They're just saying, oh, stop this, come over and look at this, come on. If the referee makes a decision, and I think we'd won another week there, we could clearly see it was a penalty all day long, and he's not giving it. They're re-refing it, and you think, no, don't re-ref it. If it's a clear and obvious error, yes. If the referee's made the decision, it's not clear and obvious, just leave it alone.
Yeah.
Just please stop it. That's what I was saying about the Kilmarnock game today. 8 minutes. It's as if they're waiting to see, as Hugh says there, let's see if we can find something. I think they're trying to find a reason not to award the goal now.
I think
three and four places here. Could we not, what happened in this? Let's not award the goal. Totally wrong, in my opinion.
We don't really know the full story of the Kilmarnock Dundee one. It is a really long stoppage, which everyone at the game is going to be frustrated by, but you'd imagine there was maybe just so many different things that needed to check in terms of whether it was a foul, whether there was an offside in the build-up, all these types of things, and the officials will be trying to get every single part right, but the longer it goes on, the more agitated people get. They then start wondering, well, is it clear and obvious if they're having to, and then it ends up being that the decision stands in the end.
We'll get an explanation. There might have been a technical problem with the technology, who knows. But whatever the reason is 8 minute stoppage making the game better? Joe Wesley took the penalty, probably had to do a warm up before he took the penalty. But I'm with you, Hugh, the caller, because I think you're right. Go with the referee's decision unless the incident didn't happen. I mean, during the week, watching Liverpool against PSG, Konate runs through behind, I think maybe Dewey, I'm not sure which player it was, and he shoves him in the back. And I thought it was a penalty, but the referee said no, and VAR moved quickly, saying, okay. You can see why the referee maybe said no, back his decision, back a decision on the part, back the referee, allow them to make that decision, unless it's so obvious that it didn't happen, you know, and then you step in. But I think we are so concerned over the title race, over relegation, particularly title race, that every single decision has been examined to the nth degree to try and get away from criticism. And it's not working because there's still mistakes being made because most decisions are subjective. Follow the referee. If he gives a penalty, support him. If the same incident he doesn't give a penalty, support him. Move on quickly and let the game flow.
In terms of performance, Hugh, not the result you would have wanted. Were there plenty of positives in there, though, from a Motherwell perspective, even though there'll be the end frustration?
Oh, definitely. I think, again, just like how we'd been all the season, not taking our chances when we had chances. I mean, Masarisa, the turn he'd done against Talcott that today, he turned them inside out, 1-1 with the keeper. He's got two choices. He goes for a goal, which is fine because he's on, he's a top goal scorer. Let him go for it. Or he passes the ball 3 yards to Longuello, who's got a tap in. And I don't have an issue with him having a shot. I really don't because, as I said, he's top goal scorer. He's on the form. Let him go for it. But that's sort of those decisions that have not failed us this year, but stopped us obviously progressing. We should have probably been 3-4-1 up at that point. Just not taking chances, not making the right decisions at the end. But again, I am more than happy with how the team's performed this year. I don't think any Millwall fan's going to complain about that. I just want us to, hopefully we can push on next year and go a little bit further. I'm all right with that.
Well, thank you to Hugh. What about Raja, who's a Celtic fan in Cardonald? Raja, what are you thinking?
Yeah, that's a very lucky result today, brother. I mean, that was kind of hard fought, but it was never in doubt. But my main point is, I heard Hugh Keevan say the other day that Celtic only got 1% chance to win the league or something. And today he was saying that because Celtic won't win the league because they don't have a striker. But how many strikers have scored for Rangers or Hearts? No,
Hearts have strikers that are in form, but you would argue the same point for Rangers, the out-and-out goal scorers. Yusuf Jermitis showing up the big games, but not week-to-week. Ryan Nadiri, now injured, only has one league goal, I think. Bojan Miovski has, 11 goals for the season, but hasn't been playing regularly or scoring regularly.
Roger come on to make a point about what I said about Celtic. I don't believe Celtic can win the title because of the lack of a goal scorer. I do believe that when Rangers and Hearts go to Celtic Park, there's more chance of them winning the matches because of Celtic's almost
What's the difference with Rangers then? Because if Rangers don't have an out-and-out goal scorer that's scoring consistently, are you putting it down to the fact that Yusuf Chermiti's shown up in the big games, that he could score against Celtic and Hearts? Yeah. Or is it the fact that, you know, their last two games, they scored eight different goal scorers?
If I had a choice tomorrow between Yusuf Chermiti and Thomas Franciara, I would take Chermiti. They are both the same in that they require a lot of chances to score, but if Thomas Franciara is your best chance of winning the league, you've had it. And Celtic, and I know that Gordon DL is going to go on about Benjamin Negren, but he didn't score today, he didn't score last week. You know,
but he has a second top goal scorer in the league, so the goals still count, don't they?
Yeah. Five games to go, post-split. For me, Celtic's lack of a goal scorer and the awful recruitment, which has left people like Adamu, Mvuka, Balakwisha somewhere where no one can see them, ultimately, for me, that will cost Celtic the title.
So what's your percentage chance, then, as Raja was asking, of Celtic winning the title at this point?
Still on zero.
Yeah, I'm still on zero, yeah.
Zero. Despite the fact that Celtic are just 3 points behind Hearts with five games to go, they still need to play each other. Giving them 0% chance.
The essence of this programme is personal opinion. You can berate, you can gang up, you can do whatever you like. I said zero, I stand by zero.
Well, you've got to pick a team, so there's no point in putting 20%, 60%. There's no point in that. You may as well just go out on a limb. Look,
who's going to win a league then?
I don't know. I've got to say, I think that it's one of those that...
I thought it was going to be one of those three. I thought that's what you were going to say.
Well, then. I probably
was going to pick a team, but I'm not going to pick one.
I'll put a 33% chance on every team.
I'll be honest with you. I went at the beginning of the season, I went with Celtic, right? I'm not very confident. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was thinking, they've got to finish third. They've got themselves right back into the mix. I know what Hugh's saying, take on board. They're getting over the line, but so were Hearts. And even today, Hearts, I thought, still got over the line. Late penalty kick, okay, get some late goal that looks a bit better. Rangers at home have been banging in goals, but not from their front players, right? I think they've scored about 18 goals in the last 7-8 games or something at Ibrox. So they'll need to do it away from home. So I still think a lot of twists and turns, but just because Celtic now are sitting with three home games, then I think it does give them a slight advantage, and I still think they'll be right in the mix there, of course. But I'm sitting totally on the fence trying to talk myself out of this, because I'm going to change my mind next week.
Can't have that, Hugh.
And that's why you can come back. If Celtic win the title, there'll be an avalanche of calls here, but at least I'll give you an opinion.
Raja, what percentage chance are you giving Celtic after today?
Hey, brother, I'm going to be honest, right? Hearts were, until I think about 83%, you got me in the percentage now. Sorry, 83 minutes, right? Sorry. Right, and I think they were drawn one each, weren't they?
Yep.
And then Hearts got a penalty, something, and then Celtic kind of hanged on there. I'm an honest person, right? But I think Rangers may draw points tomorrow. But the main advantage is for Celtic to have the two games at hand at Parkett, home games. I think that will switch it towards Celtic.
They've lost five times at Celtic Park this season.
Listen, what happened before, that doesn't matter. You can lose a game last night before that, next day you can win the game 10-0. I mean, Hugh, you're just assuming things. No?
Roger's allowed to have his opinion, isn't he?
No matter how wrong it is, he's allowed to have his opinion.
Well, thank you to Raja. 01419511025, final chance to get your calls in, and hopefully we'll start hearing from some of the managers involved in today's games as well.
After they play, You have your say. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard's open line.
Not much time left. Get your calls in on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. A big day of action in the Scottish Premiership. It's not over for this weekend either. Falkirk host Rangers tomorrow. Celtic and Hearts both winning today. So can Rangers respond tomorrow, or will Falkirk cause a bit of a shock of their own? Scott is a Rangers fan in Bells Hill. Scott, what have you got for us this evening?
Hi, good evening, panel. How are you doing?
Good.
Hi, Scott.
Good to talk to you. First time caller.
Good to hear from you.
I sat and watched the Hearts Murrow game today, and the refereeing from Mr. McDermott was absolutely shocking. VAR, I don't like VAR. That's how I stopped watching English Premiership when it was brought in, just before it was brought in Scottish football. But some of the refereeing decisions in that game were absolutely shocking.
What in particular?
A player, and it goes to a Murrow, comes off a Murrow player for a throw in, and it goes against Murrow. Everything was just shocking with Matthew McDermott today. The whole game, I watched the full game, and it was just totally shocking refereeing from Matthew McDermott.
What did you think about the penalty decision? We had a Motherwell fan on earlier on that wasn't happy with it.
No, I'm not happy with it either. I listened to Fraser, and all due respect to Fraser, he said it's a penalty. I don't understand how that's a penalty when the guy's lying on the ground and the defender is trying to clear the ball in real time.
I don't think it's a penalty either.
No.
You showed it to me now, and I don't think it's a penalty. But that's the nature of football. You put four people in a room, and two will think one thing, and two will think another. Also, with regard to Matthew McDermott, I know that he's not the favourite referee of many people. But again, that's not unusual either. From the beginning of time, people have criticised referees, and the standard at the moment, I think, is questionable. However, Matthew McDermott, like all referees, will have good games and bad games like players. And I haven't seen the Hearts Murrow game in full, therefore I don't know about the standard he reached or did not reach today. But referees, that's what they're there for, to be shot at.
What do you think the penalty comes down to? Is it endangering an opponent and kicked in the head? Because Kibori sort of bumped in the back when he goes for the initial ball. He goes down, the ball falls towards him, and he manages to get his head onto it, sort of flick it backwards, and as a Motherwell defender goes to try and clear the ball, Kibori gets there first, kicks him in the back of the head. You're thinking it is a penalty?
No, I don't think it is.
You don't think so?
No, I'm with you. I don't think it is. Look, it's very difficult for us. We're in the studio. We don't sit and watch the game coming in from Tynecastle, so we've only had a quick glance at it, but in first glances, for me, that is never a penalty kick. I know what Fraser Point is, and obviously the referee was sent over to the screen. He decided it was. It was a big, big moment. It might be a massive moment in the title race, but listen, that's nothing to do with Hearts. They gave the penalty, and Shanklin put the penalty away, and Hearts went on to get a 3-1 victory and a very valuable 3 points. But I do, listen, the one thing I've always said for years in here, and I've got criticised non-stop, I backed referees to the hill because I thought it was the most difficult job to do. You could hardly win. We get calls every single night criticising decisions, whether it be a big decision, small decision, anything. But I've got to say, this year I think the refereeing standard's been really, really poor. And it highlighted it for me last week, and it was you, the Motherwell fan, that come on and spoke about it. At Fir Park, how a referee and VAR don't get involved in that is totally beyond me.
I think that's one of the problems for referees, is that VAR was sold to us. I remember Ian Maxwell standing and saying to us, oh, but now they'll get 98.35% of decisions right. That's just not true, because the decision there is neither right nor wrong, because we disagree on it. It's just purely about opinion. But now, because the referee's got a chance to go to VAR, and you've got the referee, you've got two assistant referees, you've got the fourth official, you've got two in the VAR room, and even then, if they get it, and which in my opinion was wrong or right, whatever else, especially when it's wrong, then there's even more criticism of referees. And that, for me, is, I don't think VAR is helping referees, because if they have to go to the screen and change their decision, they're getting it wrong as well. So I think it's just highlighting things, and it's going back to the whole VAR. In general, has it made the game better? Has it made it better for referees? Has it made it better for supporters? Absolutely not. I mean, the referee, fans at Rugby Park, 8 minutes to wait. For whatever reason it was, 8 minutes. Wow.
The Rangers win tomorrow, Scott.
Yeah, 100%. I quite agree with Fraser there as well about VAR. But what I will say is, it's not just the referees, there's four officials. Not just the referee, but he's got to make a decision. I get that. But that refereeing display today is the worst I've seen in 50 years of watching Scottish football.
Strong words from Scott. Thank you to him. What about Charlie, who's a Celtic fan in Greenock?
Hi, pal. How you doing? He's all right. I was wanting to talk about Celtic. I've been sitting on the phone the last couple of minutes here, actually just engrossed in the conversation. And I think it's been highlighted this week. I don't know if it's been discussed on the show. Apologies if I'm going over old ground. But what is it, 180 officials at the World Cup? There's officials coming from teams or countries that have never made it before. And there's no Scottish officials at the World Cup. And I think that's the most damning indictment from a country that's supposed to have invented the rules. It's the most damning indictment I've seen. I've seen a lot of bad decisions. Never mind your VAR, which went on a lot this season. I think the reason the officials, there's no Scottish officials going, it's not just the big decisions. It's the match influencing, it's the wee decisions, and you're like, incredulous. You go, like, come on, that's a free kick, no. And it goes, it's the amount of wrong decisions. And we've reached an all-time low. So what do we do? Do we get new referees? Do we bring in? What are we going to do? Are we going to go to German third tier and ask them for their referees? You know what I mean?
The thing is, you'll look around Europe and you'll find complaints in every single country about their own referees. But, and I won't lie, I have no idea how the selection process is for referees being picked for major tournaments. But 180 referees going to the World Cup and there isn't a Scottish officiating team there. It's a great look, is it?
No, it's not. But the question of referees and bad decision making has been delivered since the game began. I think it intensified with the introduction of VAR. Online activity has intensified criticism of referees. The fact that there's no Scottish official in America is an indictment of the standard here. But the general question, the standard is low, and Charlie's asking, do we just get new referees? If you brought in a whole raft of new Scottish referees tomorrow, they would just get criticised in the same way.
What happens when people don't like their decisions and we need to dip into another market?
Does anybody watch English Premier League at times?
I know.
And they're full time. They have no excuses whatsoever. And the standard down there is poor as well.
The trouble here is that in Scotland, people think that referees do things with a purpose. They do it to that team or that player. We can't cure the country of the way it feels about these matters. But the refereeing standard is poor, but you don't change it by throwing out all of the current referees and bringing in a new crop, because they'll be poor as well in the eyes of supporters.
Charlie, what has today done for your belief that Celtic can win the title?
I thought Celtic actually played some really good football, especially in the first half today. Well, it's what I think we've been seeing for weeks. The boy up front is, for me, should not be on the park for Celtic. The boy Chimanchara should be on the park. But Celtic were playing a lot of good football today. And listen, they pull on another 5-1-0 wins would take Celtic to the title. And that's so the point why I called today was about Hugh. Right, because I listened to him last week, and actually part of me agreed with him. Right, I need to be honest, but I was still laughing. Celtic are now within points of the top of the league. How can they say they have no chance? Because that was his words. It wasn't a 1%. Hugh said Celtic have no chance. Does he still think that?
Which part of what I said did you agree with?
You're correct. Last week, we were rotten. Celtic don't have strikers. Chavanchara is never a striker. And they're relying on goals. As was mentioned earlier on the show, teams are relying from goals around the park, and that's the way it seems to be. We seem to be scrambling across the line for wherever we can get a wee goal free.
But your hope is based on the hope that Celtic can scramble over the line, as you put it, five times in a row.
Yes. Well, with the I don't want to say the re-emergence of Iheanacho, but he's certainly coming more to the fore. With Engels coming back, with Hearts taking a wobble, I know they got away with it today, but they're taking a wobble again, and Hearts and Rangers are going to play each other in game two of the split. Mm-hmm. There's a chance Celtic will be top game two or game three of the split. There is a chance of that. And how can you write Celtic off you?
It's quite straightforward. I don't think they've got a good enough team to win the league. And if Celtic do win the league, I'm a mug. If Celtic finish second or third, I'm absolutely correct.
I just know that someone is going to clip up that very short, yes, I'm a mug, of you saying that, and that's just going to be used on Twitter for the rest of time.
As I say, the essence of this programme is you give an opinion, unless you're Gordon Deal. So, in my opinion, Celtic don't have a team good enough to win the league title. I'll get back to you at 5 o'clock on the evening of May 16 and we can talk about it.
Well, thank you to Charlie. Very quickly, Hugh, how do you sum up what we saw today and what we may see tomorrow?
Celtic and Hearts get there in the end. Rangers have to go there from the beginning tomorrow and assert themselves against a very good Falkirk side. History this season tells you that Celtic, Rangers and Hearts have only won on one weekend. The three of them have won the games on only one weekend. Therefore, the odds say Rangers drop something tomorrow. But sometimes the odds can be wrong.
Well, thank you to Gordon DL, who's already halfway off his seat because he's got the Masters to watch later on. Thank you to Fraser Wishart, who has somehow put up with Gordon DL for the last 4 hours. And thank you to Hugh Keevans. But most importantly, thank you to you at home for listening in throughout the day, watching on the live stream, getting involved on social media and the phones. The action is not done for the weekend, though. It is an early kickoff tomorrow between Falkirk and Rangers, and we'll bring you all the reaction. I'll be in this studio with Tony Watt and Alex Ray from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock. But it is the GBX that's up next.